Good evening, everyone. This is N2 NOV with shortwave and scanner listener net. We will stand by for emergency for priority traffic before we continue with the next evening. This is N2 NOV. My name is Charles in Staten Island, New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listening set that's heard on these frequencies of the N2ROW link repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. To get more information on the frequencies that are available in your neighborhood for this system, go to www.n2row.net. The purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in all the different aspects of the radio monitoring topic. We cover all the frequencies that you tune into, from DC all the way up to light, and everything else in between except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about amateur radio at any other time during the week. So on this event, we'll talk about who you can find on these various frequencies, what type of equipment to use, where you're going to find information available, either in print matter or on the internet. What's new that's coming along is maybe new models of radios and technologies, changes in the laws, maybe new frequencies are being released by the FCC. You never know what's going to happen from week to week. This is a net that you can discuss all that on. The basic ground rules, these repeaters are located in New York City, and the main hub is the 441.100 repeater, which has a field tone of 136.5. Again, check the website for the nearest repeater to your location. For those who are checking in over the air, you're asked to give your call sign, name, and location. Also, please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by any traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, please say no traffic when you check in. This way we know to go to the next station on the list. For those who are not able to get into the repeaters, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not be a licensed amateur radio operator quite yet, you can still participate by sending your comments or questions to our email address, which is nyvxa@yahoo.com. That's also the email address to use if you'd like to sign up for our mailing list. So at this time, we'll stand by and check in. Please space it out so we can get everybody in and nobody steps on each other. This is N2NOV.
WB2SGT with traffic.
NMLZ Bob in Milford, Connecticut, with a question.
KZ2BXN, 1 in Staten Island, no traffic.
It sounds like the summer traveling days are starting early. Good evening, WB2SGT, N1NLZ, and anybody else?
And to RBM, Ron in Elmwood Park, no traffic at all. If you can't quite transmit it, we'll be listening. W2CBR in Miami. No. With no traffic also.
This is KC2PXN, 1 in Staten Island. No traffic.
N2NOV. This is November to November Hotel, Mike, Joe, and Garfield. No traffic. Good evening. is Whiskey 2, Delta 0, X-ray Mobile, Jim in Long Island. No traffic.
Okay, and one, we got you before. Initially, N2RVM, W2CBR listening in on Mel's Garage, N2NHM and W2DSX. Jim, haven't heard you in a long time. Okay, anybody else? Okay, once again, if you're not able to get into the repeater for whatever reason, email address is nyexa@yahoo.com. Okay, so let's start off with the list of Havoc. First one up, WB2SGT. How's it going tonight? And one of it.
Good evening to all. This is WB2SGT. Well, I survived a... My little prize from Dayton was a Radio Shack 12-2052 dual trunking scanner, 1,000 pounds, for $59. So I'll have to learn how to use that. My only question is, I have a original paperwork. It's got RS-232 interface for a computer and it came with no software. But, hey, $59, not to go wrong.
Well, that's not a bad price for Pro 2052. The only thing is, make sure that you have the cable and hunt out some software for it. I think one of the best places you can find a review of various pieces of software for any of these programmable scanners is to go to strongsignals.net. And you'll see a link on the main page for a software page that Mike Agner, Mike put together a review of all the different software packages that come out from all the standards going back to the Internet 45 XLT back in 1997.
Wrong signal contact. Well, you know, one of the things for us with the emergency service was the price. Was it comes with SANE, Specific Area Sensor Encoder, for mother alert. Well, that should be the new director of the anyway, I'm still waiting to hear from people in town and they towed my car away for $85. I want my money back. Had a good time. I'll be sending part. Thank you.
Okay, one word of caution, team. Any of the scanners that have the weather channel, especially with the SAME decoder in it for alerting you. You cannot use that at the same time that you're using your radio for scanning something else. It's just going to be either one or the other. So if you want to put it in weather alert mode, that's where it sits until notification comes through. I know it's a pain for a lot of people, but that's the way it's been since they started putting that in the scanner.
Thank you. I learn every day. What could happen in New York? Hurricane?
Well, actually, if you remember your Skywarn training, we could have tornadoes here.
Oh, of course, no doubt. Starbound. And I do get to the bird on the internet. But having the ability to see an immediate SAMC warning on a radio at home is far better than having it.
KA2UIJ.
Wow, UIJ, big echo.
Hi, Charlie. Just a late check in. I'm going to find the scanner to help. I have that scanner also that Pete has, the 2052. It's a great scanner. If you're going to do trunking, it's either trunking or scanning conventional, but you can't do both. Just like an FYI. I have it pretty much dedicated for New Jersey State Police when something's going on. If not, I just got it for conventional scanning, but it's a pretty good radio though.
Now, here's a question. I have not gotten into this. The new book that came with it was published in China, and it mentioned New York City Fire Department. Are there 800 megacycle systems in operation with something?
Pete, you want to check all the different links on my personal website? And when it'll be .net, you'll see where all the different services are here in New York City.
This is a project. Everything is a project. I'm on the internet right now because with this net, NYDX scanner shortwave, I was a part of Project Jenny after Vietnam, which was an airborne broadcasting platform. And I'm still trying to find out what happened to Project Jenny after Vietnam was over.
What was Project Jenning all about?
Good morning, Vietnam! Project Jenning was a super constellation built as airborne broadcasting stations, AM, shortwave, FM, and low-band television channel. They contain several 10-kilowatt transmitters manufactured by the company I work for, and a video cavity transmitter, 10 kW, using a video signal generator. What they did was they flew over Vietnam and would transmit several hours of videotape to the PIs who were provided with U.S. TV SBS set before Vietnam had television capabilities. It also had the ability videotape activity with television cameras and store that information on 2-inch AMPAC videotape recording. Damn, it's a long time ago. So there were several super constellations built. There was a LTV 1011 built, and I worked on the equipment after Vietnam. It became part of the CIA and all of our broadcasting system. The equipment today is radio Martin. You guys are fucking Jericho.
Hey,
Well, I just found the website, which is hiding all that, put together by Robbie Robbins, who was with Project Jetty from 65 to 69. And you can find it at www.afbn, Alpha Foxtrot Victor November, .tv/Project Jetty, with a capital P and a capital J, /index.html. We'll write up here about the equipment, the what they did with it, broadcasting the World Series of the South Vietnam in October 1965, making it the world's first operational airborne broadcast station, and some other things they did. If you backtrack on that website and just go to afbn.tv, you'll see some other stuff that came out of the Armed Forces Vietnam Network. So anybody's interested in something very important history from 40 years ago, this is a good place to check out.
That went pretty fast, but that's okay because I'm on a net from the internet with some of the original drives. I worked with the people who put it together.
Well, if I come from still around, you may be able to reach out and contact them. There's a link to Mr. Robbins' email address at the bottom of the page.
Somebody from the Project Internet that I'm on is emailing me, this is great, International Military Watch. And that's what I'm downloading right now. I'm downloading China military PLA video.
And there's a lot going on in this world. Good thing we have the internet to help us seek out some of the stuff. Okay. Let's move along. And let's see if we can get some traffic. Bob up in Connecticut. N1MLZ,
N4LB. Hey, good evening, Charlie. That's the internet. Good evening. Thanks for having the net here, Charlie, again. I got a question. Looking to buy a Pro 97. I think it's still being sold new, but it doesn't matter if it's new or used. I'm curious about the millimeter band on it, really, is what I'm buying it for. I need a dedicated handheld scanner for the millimeter band. I have other scanners that'll do it, but I want one scanner just for the millimeter, and that's it. And, as far as millimeter goes, you basically have to dedicate one scanner to it, because those quick transmissions that they use, you miss a lot if you have it tied up with other stuff. So I'm more interested in the sensitivity on the millimeter band than anything else on the Pro 97. I have the 96, which is, it's pretty decent, but, again, the Pro 96 I'm using for other stuff, so it looks like the 97, as far as what I'm reading on the internet, seems to work pretty good on the millimeter band. But if anybody out there had one or now has one, I'd rather hear it from right from the horse's mouth, so you know what I mean?
Okay, thank you. Well, Bob, there are some reviews on the aham.net webpage. Looks like generically good to excellent from what I'm seeing on the scrolling down.
Yeah, Roger, I'm not sure. Yeah, I read those a little while ago. I also read the Strong Signals review. And he failed to mention about the Miller band in there, but the couple of guys mentioned the Miller work. I was just curious to hear it from somebody that actually owns it. Sometimes it's nice to hear it. But it looks, as far as I'm concerned, it looks like a pretty good choice for your shows, because it has the signal stalker on it also, which you can have going in the background. But also the Miller band. So both of them going at the same time might be pretty good.
Yeah, I've been using my 780 as base station scanner, military stuff. So I don't know how the Pro 97 stacks up against that. But, you know, from what these different people are saying, Bob, looks like you can't go wrong. You know, for a handheld, it doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, okay, very good, Charlie. Be good on that. I hope so. Looking for, I have the 3000, you might remember that one. But the only problem with that one is the scan's pretty slow. It works good, but it gets a little fussy. It does scan slow when you have 200 or 300, or even 400 sometimes, low air frequencies in there. It takes quite a while to go from zero to 400 and back around again. So that's another problem with some of the older ones, the scan speed. By the way, the BC-246, I'm sorry, BC-236, yeah, 246, the one I own, the little Bearcat, it does, I believe it does do weather band, weather alert in the background while it's scanning. I thought it did the same, the BC-246. I'm pretty sure it does, Charlie. I own the radio, and I had it on yesterday with the storms that came through Connecticut here. Monday, it was going nuts there with the tornado and the hail and everything else we had up here. So it was working good the same there. The weather alert. I thought it did it in the background, Charlie.
RVM with some info on the 2052. Okay, thanks, go ahead. Yeah, it's RVM. The 2052, I don't know if I missed something, but one of the guys says that the 2052 will not do both. F-52 is able to track simultaneously trunk and conventional. So after April 2006 was the date of the new version. Anyway, into RVM, back to that. Okay, you dropped out in the middle there, Rod. You're saying that the 2052 can do both trunking and conventional scanning at the same time. So I think there's that 245 is the first one to do that. Yeah, that would be it after the date of April 2006. Anything before that wasn't able to do it. So after that date, that was it. And I think the stores had it on sale, closeout, for around $70, $75. And that had to be a couple of months ago. Anyway. Okay, so the best way is to check the sticker on the back of the radio and see if it came out before or after that date. Alright, thanks for putting that out. Okay, N1MLZ, any other traffic, especially with what happened with the trip on the film yet?
Yeah, that's all there, Charlie. I plan on going to the Atlantic City Air Show down there in August. So if anybody else has frequencies for that air show, I'd be glad to get something on that on the boardwalk there during the week, a bit over a week. But last year they had the Thunderbird and the Boeing at the same time, which is a rarity. I think it's only happened a couple times, but other times in the country. At the same day, they had both Boeing and Thunderbird. They said they have just the Thunderbird this year.
Okay, Bob, which input are you using? The 147?
Yeah, 145, 23.
Okay, you sound a little noisy.
Yeah, I might not have my beam, might not be pointing directly at the right spot here. I just think that's what it is.
Okay. I'll let you know. Those who are interested in things like the space shuttle launch, so far they are on schedule to be launched Friday evening. So tomorrow evening, the rotating surface structure is to be moved into launch position to get ready. and then NASA TV will pick up live commentary about 1:30 in the afternoon on Friday. And they're expecting a launch at 7:38 p.m. Hopefully the weather holds up and that'll be a good launch.
Hope it's a little later, Charlie, so we can see it at night here.
You're hoping for a 2-hour delay, huh?
Let's say maybe an hour and a half. But so an hour, even an hour, it takes 17 minutes to get up here, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, there's a link on my webpage that goes to monitoring time sites over the various frequencies that they've been able to gather from NASA stations. So you can pop the channel to shortwave radio for ships that pick up the booster rockets when they come off. They were doing some practicing about a week or two ago, and it was heard on some of the military satellite channels that they were practicing in case the shuttle had a ditch and simulated picking up survivors and bringing them in. So it might be a good thing. If you have the capability to listen to Inmarsat satellite ground between 1535 and 1545, do some searching in there for some shadow. Even now, you may hear some stuff. And especially even at the launch time, as well as the VHF stuff. Okay, time now is 9:27. Let's stand by for any additional check-ins. Thank you, that's one. I'll be with the shortwave and scanner listening set. Stop using new SDC. SDC, good. A lot of people know me from all kinds of places. Far more people know me than I know them. So I'm walking in a flea market in Dayton, and somebody comes up to me, who I haven't seen for a long time. His mother has, but he's listening to this set right now. Oh! You know this guy? You know this guy? You know, there's another a suspect? Yeah. Introduced me to somebody. The guy was the person who videotaped the crash of the aircraft. Yeah, I was a big surprise. Oh, I'm still receiving residuals. I'm making lots of money. Dayton not the used to be, but that made my day. Hey.
The last station, we get a very bad homeowner signal from the college one. Problem. On the Turkish troops announced today that they were crossing to northern Iraq to go after Kurdish guerrillas who've been attacking them. Well, of course, there's denial going back and forth. What you might want to do is listen in on some of the shortwave radio stations on that area, especially the voice of Turkey. They're the ones that claim they're going after the people. And this time, in fact, about an hour and a half, from 0300 to 0400, Voice of Turkey's got two frequencies that they're using, 5970 and 7270. In the morning, at 1230 UTC, and a 1300 cc half hour broadcast being beamed to Europe, and you might be able to pick it up in this part of the country. 13685 and 15450 around lunchtime at 1830 UTC on 9785 and at 1900 UTC. At 2000 UTC on 6195 and at 2030 and 2100 half hour broadcast on 7170. And again at 2200 on 6195. All these broadcasts are supposed to be in English. So if you want to check out what's going on and hear something interesting. I don't know if Chris Paris is listening in. If he is, let us know that you're out there. Chris has been traveling around the country a little bit. Chris is the federal frequency editor for Modern Times. He posted something today, in fact, at about 5 o'clock this evening, that he finally was able to listen to the FBI doing the check-in on their interoperability repeater here in New York on 167.7875 at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he listed all the different agencies that he heard, all sorts of federal agencies, as well as, for some reason, the Essex County Sheriff's Office and Nassau County Police. Sometimes, in the past, I heard this myself on 414.750. It was a simulcast. But he said he did not hear it on that frequency this morning. And turns out this particular repeater was being tested out before the roll call was being done for the different agencies. And there was a guy on an HT that was up in the White Plains area checking out the repeater. So it sounds like this repeater for the FBI has a pretty good range. You might keep one of those slots in the scanner on that frequency. You also have to have the capability of listening to ASCO 25 digital modulation. Otherwise, all you're going to hear is something like the white one.
N1MLZ, was that 167.7875, Charlie?
Yeah, the frequency is 167.7875. Sometimes it's simulcast with 414.750. Okay, this past weekend I've been doing some playing around with a radio that picks up some of the iBox in band on channel, or as Mark Phillips likes to say, it buzzers other channels. It's a radio, I think it's Boston Acoustics is what's on here. It's called the Scepter Radio. And it tunes in iBox broadcasts on both AM and FM. Now, the AM station is going to carry the same programming that the analog does. Unfortunately, in the AM broadcast, and you hear it, it's going to sound like wide white noise on either side of the main channel. So let's say, for example, WOR 710, which the two sidebands go between 705, 710, and 710 to 715. The wide noise that you hear, that's the actual digital iBox carrier, can go down another 10 kilohertz on either side at least. Now, even though the FCC recently, and I mean within the past few weeks, authorized all the iBox transmitters to be able to transmit in the evening, which they were not able to do before, I've yet to hear any of the New York stations transmitting their iBox digital carriers after dinner time.
One thing I also did was start going through the different FM broadcast stations that have it as well. And it works a little differently with FM. If you remember, we talked about how FM broadcast bands are going out. We have stations that end in an odd number. So 89.5, 89.7, 89.9. So that's a 200 kilohertz step between the different stations. The first 100 kilohertz is used for left channel, right channel, radio broadcast data services, where they show up the call sign program material on the display of your radio if you have that capability. Also, some carriers, the secondary carrier, like reading books for the blind, things like that. But after that, you have a 100 kilohertz gap before you get the next channel space that can be authorized. Well, what they're doing with the iBox now is taking that 100 kilohertz space and putting the digital carriers in there. So you can get two or three digital carriers to have two or three additional programs separate from the main analog program. And in these other carriers, you can actually have separate programming. And some of it's even commercial free. So for those who've been wondering, gee, where is country radio? I've been looking for country radio in New York for a long time. Well, guess what? WKTU 103.5 has it on their second iBox subcarrier. So it's 103.5-2 if you have this radio. Or any of the iBox capable tuners. WCBS-FM 101.1 has their oldies on their second subcarrier. So missing all the programming you used to listen to on 101, then that's where it is. There's a 70s hits on ELJ's second carrier, and they're even slated to have a third one going. Sometimes, for lack of programming, they'll run the same program on each of them. Sometimes they'll have something unique. For example, WNYC-FM 93.9, on their third subcarrier, they actually had the repeat of the Democratic candidate's debate Sunday night, when I was listening to this on Monday evening.
WA2I, WC with intro.
WA2IWC, go ahead, welcome to that.
Thank you. I couldn't check in. I'm out in the street here with an HD walking a dog, but I stopped because I was very interested in your transmission, and I wanted to pass along a couple of pieces of information. One, if anybody wants to buy one of those radios, you have to be careful. It is the Receptor HD. There is another radio made by the same company called the Receptor Radio. That's the predecessor, and it does not get HD. You have to buy the Receptor HD. And the second piece of information is... WPLJ has, for a long time, has separate programming on their HD 1, 2, and 3 channels. They are using HD 3, as is WNYC. HD 3 on NYC often is a simulcast of the 820 AM signal, although I suspect now that they finally got their 820 transmitter back in digital mode, that may change soon, but who knows. But I think you must have one of those radios, and two questions I have for you is, are you able to get the HD2 channel of WSUV on 90.7? I cannot here in Manhattan. I don't think the translator in Manhattan does HD. And I'm wondering if you notice on WBGO's HD2 channel that they just different equalization of their HD1 channel audio. Back to them.
Well, from my scribbled notes here, let's see. WBGO had the same programming on some areas 1 and 2. And I couldn't tell any difference, except there seemed to be a slight delay between two of them. But that may be a function of the radio switching subcarriers. Let's see. PLJ had different programs than all three of them. 97.1 had different programs than the ULs had. WSOU 89.5, both of their digital subcarriers had identical programming, so if they don't have anything to push out GSPX. But all the other ones seem to be carrying multiple programs, PLJ, WNYC, WQHT on 97.1, 98.7, 99.1, V100, CBS, 102.7 had different programs on two different subcarriers. KQ, like I said, had country on the second one. Q104 had two, 105.1, 105.9 foreign language stations out of, like, the Texas Jersey North. Light FM, 106.7, also had two subcarriers as well. As far as WFUV, I didn't notice a second one there at all. IWC, still with us. Okay. I updated this page for the FM stations in the New York City area on my website, where I also indicate who owns the stations and what is the slogan that comes up when the RDS decoder and curator has one. Sometimes they display the title of the song that's playing, or just the station name, call sign, or whatever the slogan is. So you'll see all that on my site. Let's go about halfway down the page. You'll see all the broadcast links and stuff. And you want to take a look at the New York City area at that point. Okay. Is there any other additional checking before we wrap it up tonight? There's nothing for me on this one. The next one will be with the short phase and generally with that. Good evening, Justin. Yeah, and Bob's traveling too. That's why you haven't turned him on tonight. He gave me a call from the cell phone. Wasn't sure if the traffic was going to let him get anywhere near the New York area tonight.
Yeah, I get heard on the channel that there's a big accident on Route 2 and it's backed up for a warning.
Yeah, sometimes you get so messed up out there, it's like you turn off your engine and wait. No sense getting upset about it. Okay. It was good to hear that you got home safe. Alright, if nothing else, we'll say 7-3 to everybody. We'll catch you next week. Again, if you're not on our mailing list and you'd like to be, drop us an email at nyesa@yahoo.com. And I'll be sure to put you on the mailing list if there's any hot breaking stories throughout the week or interesting tidbits. Sure to get them out to you. Okay, we'll talk to you all later, and we'll have a quick.